What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, just my one co-host tonight. What's up, Mike?
You aren't kidding. It is, as always. No I'm doubt. Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. Just got done watching some basketball, watching some Warriors Celtics. It was a pretty good game.
I had a solid hour and a half drive, so I'm good.
Nice. Yeah, it was good to watch the basketball after all this COVID news getting me down in the dumps, man, for all the football stuff.
I know. Thankfully, it's just been some rescheduling issues, and it's not, you know, canceling issues at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really only the NBA that's canceled, or they haven't canceled games. They've just postponed. Well, I guess the NFL postponed them too, right? We got games on Tuesday now.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, we do. We have, what do we got here? Let me look. Seattle at Los Angeles, and then Washington football team at Philadelphia. I mean, the Seattle one's probably going to be the better game to watch.
Crazy. We hoped we weren't going to have to deal with it, but we are end up having to deal with it at the worst time. Fantasy playoffs, man.
I know. We almost made it through the whole season without this big COVID breakout, and here we go. Right in fantasy playoffs when it means the most.
Yep. But let's go ahead. We did have a game last night. It was a pretty fantastic game, actually. It went into overtime. Kansas City ended up winning on the road in L.A. 34-28 on a walk-off Travis Kelce touchdown, man. He
took off. Yeah. I don't know how he's so terrible tackling. One.
That was great. He looked fast last night, though, didn't he, Mike? He looked good.
That's what I was just going to say. He looked, for what, 33 years old? He looked pretty fast.
Yeah, he did. That was pretty impressive. But we had a lot of upset people in the Facebook group last night with Mahomes through about 3.5-ish quarters, but he ended up having himself a pretty great fantasy day. He threw for 410 yards, 3 touchdowns, did have 1 interception, and 28.5 fantasy points. So there's really nothing you complain about there.
No, you were complaining the first 3 quarters, but after that 4th quarter in overtime, man, he definitely boosted it up there. What, getting 3 touchdowns? He had the 1 pick. But, man, he had a phenomenal night.
Yeah, that was on a screen pass, too, I want to say. It was weird.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal play. I can't remember the defender. I know he's a linebacker. But he tipped it up into the air and batted it himself and then fell to the ground with it. It was pretty solid.
Yeah, definitely pretty
solid. Wasn't Tyreek Hill's fault this time.
No doubt. The backfield did kind of disappoint in the from the Chiefs. CEH only had 9 attempts for 32 yards and Williams 5 attempts for 12 yards. Neither of them found in the end zone. Fullback Michael Burton actually was the one who found the end zone.
You know, sometimes we love Andy Reid in the NFL, but we hate Andy Reid in fantasy, man. The way he draws up plays for these fullbacks and offensive linemen, and I just don't understand it.
Yep. I'm pretty sure he was the first touchdown of fantasy playoffs, which is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, but then you had Tyreek Hill, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler. He had all of them end up scoring as well. So it was a good fantasy game. And it was a decent NFL game, not going to lie. Going into overtime and having a walk-off like that, one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, it was totally awesome. Kelce and Hill both tied the team lead with 13 targets. Kelce caught 10 of them for 191 and 2 touchdowns. Sheesh.
191 yards. What the
31 fantasy points. Tyreek Hill, man, was awesome too. Or I'm sorry, 41 fantasy points.
Yeah, 41
in PPR in PPR formats. And
just imagine that in Scott Fish.
Yep. And Hill had 12 receptions for 148 and a touchdown. So he had 32 PPR fantasy points. So if you had any of those guys, man, you started off your fantasy playoffs really well.
Except, you know, Mike Williams owners. He had the 9 targets, man, but only 3 receptions for, 49 yards, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And if you got extra fantasy points for style points, you would have, because one of those catches he made caught it up high on a high point play, man. It was He's so smooth and so good, man.
Except when he's falling.
This is true. This is true.
That's the only time he doesn't look smooth. He's not a very graceful faller, but man, when he jumps in the air, it's like watching just somebody take off 6 feet in the air. It's insane how high he gets.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Especially at a man him size, you know, he's a big, tall dude.
Yeah. It's hard to stop that.
Yep. But his quarterback, 22 of 38, 236, 2 touchdowns and a pick. And he also rushed in and rushed in a touchdown too. So he had a solid day as well, which good to see from Herbert. 24 fantasy points.
Yeah, it was looking brutal in the beginning, but just like Mahomes, he managed to turn it around in the second half.
Yep, yep. And then the running backs, we were a little worried about Austin Eckler. He had 12 attempts for 59 yards. Good thing he got in the end zone to kind of save his day. He also caught all of his 4 targets for 23 yards. So he did his thing. It wasn't.
It should have been more than 4 targets. Come on.
Yeah, no.
What was going on there in Los Angeles?
But he finished with 18 PPR points. So it was another solid day from him. But if you were skeptical about Austin Eckler, you might have started Justin Jackson, and he didn't have an awful game either. I mean, 9.9 fantasy points, 86 yards on the ground.
But also, he led their team in rushing yards, man, with, what was it?
86 yards.
I mean, I know Eckler's not the runner, but come on, Eckler's supposed to be. That's his role.
They wanted to take a little bit off his plate, I felt like, in this game, man, with that ankle. I don't have the snap share pulled up in front of me, but I bet you it was pretty close between him and Jackson, and even Josh Kelly was getting attempts near the goal line, and he actually cost the Chargers in a sense because he tried to hop over the pile and extend the ball, and sometimes when you do that, man, you're susceptible to fumble, and someone came in and popped that sucker right out.
Yep,
at like right the 1 yard line. The Chargers had every chance to win this game, man. What did they go for on fourth and goal? Was it? It had to have been three or four times.
At least twice.
At least I want to say it was three times, and they didn't convert.
Two times they did not convert. That third time, I think they did.
Okay.
But the first two times, man, it was in the first quarter, and then right before half, man, it was brutal not getting that touchdown before half, or at least 3 points.
I know, and I'm a Keenan Allen owner in a couple different places, and when they batted that ball down going into halftime, he was throwing to Keenan Allen, and he was wide open. And I think it was Sorensen who jumped up and knocked the ball away on a blitz. I'm not 100% sure there, Sorensen. But yeah, man, it was. They made a good play, and Keenan Allen could have had a bigger day than he did. He still caught 6 of his 10 targets for 78 yards and a touchdown. You already talked about Mike Williams had a little bit of a disappointing day. Jared Cook also 3 receptions on 7 targets. He also had a ball that could have been a touchdown go off his fingertips, which he should have caught. It was a little high from Herbert, but I feel like he should have made
it. If it hits your hands, you got to catch it.
You got to make that play, Jared Cook.
This could be a potential playoff game right here. This could be a wild card game right now.
I'd love to see it too, Mike.
It'd be a great game.
The Chargers beat Kansas City earlier this year, and then Kansas City obviously won last night. So it'd be good to see in the playoffs and get that third and final game and get that rematch, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to play teams 3 times a year. Ask the Packers and the Bears, man. When they meet in the playoffs, it's a fist fight.
Yep, it's the slobber knocker, no doubt. And then really the only other guy to mention here is Guyton, who caught both of his targets for 10 yards, but he did find the end zone for
the 2 straight weeks with a touchdown. Yep.
He's not quite seeing the volume you like, especially with Keenan Allen back, but scored touchdowns right now.
It's hard to trust the third receiver in this offense if you're going season long. I mean, I can understand playing Guyton in DFS formats.
Yeah.
But season long, it's hard to trust the third receiver because, I mean, let's be honest, it's Eckler, Keenan Allen, and then Mike Williams. I mean, he at least gets the targets.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's only so many targets that could go around. And I bet Jared Cook's probably averaging around 5 targets a game, too. That old ass man kind of just wish he'd go away.
Yeah, he's never going to go away. But, it's gonna be like it'll be like Frank Gore. He'll be here forever.
No doubt, no doubt. We're actually get to see Frank Gore. He's still around. He's just boxing tomorrow as he takes on Darren Williams. What? Where is it's such an interesting world right now, man.
They need money, I guess. Like when you're not signed to an NFL roster, you need to make some money somehow.
And I'm sure they're making a pretty big chunk of change. Especially who is that on Jake Paul's card or whatever?
Yeah,
I think. But anyways, man, let's jump into our game previews. We actually got a game tomorrow, and it's a pretty damn good one.
We were supposed to have two, but damn, COVID ruined it.
Yep. The Patriots at the Colts. You want to go ahead and jump into COVID or injuries? What's going on with New England?
Yeah, so New England, well, I'll start off with the first news. Damian Harris has been ruled out for the game. It seems like it's going to be Ramondre Stevenson's time. Nick Folk was questionable for you in your kickers and your kicker leagues. You know, other than that, I'm really not seeing too many big injuries here when it comes to the Patriots.
Brandon Bolden is also questionable, I see. So
I said big.
Let's just jump right into it, Mike. And you already know what I'm going to ask you. We know Mac Jones isn't really starter in one quarterback leagues, but Ramondre Stevenson, I feel like, has
– play him.
Yeah, he's – you probably play close to a running back, top 12 running back this week.
Yeah, he gets the workload when it comes to the PPR value. Brandon Bolden is questionable, like you said. If he's out, we'll see even more of an uptick in volume. And New England is one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. Right.
They're gonna want to cram it up their cram holes, man.
Yeah, cram it down your cram hole floor. but yeah, so they're going to want to just control the tempo against Indianapolis. And you know what's funny? Indianapolis is going to want to do the same exact thing.
No, no doubt. I just don't know if it's going to go over as well for them.
Yeah, but so this is going to be, honestly, this might be one of those low-scoring affairs, not really fantasy-friendly.
Mm-hmm. I think it might still be a decent game to watch as an NFL fan, though. I'm a little jazzed up about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, as an NFL fan, hell yeah. But as a first start into the fantasy playoffs for people who got Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, yeah, even Damian Harris, man, it's going to be brutal because you don't have even Harris.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I want to ask you now is let's jump into some of the pass catchers in this offense. Kendrick Bourne had been coming up. He had been pretty hot. Before the last game where New England only attempted three passes. But he had been being efficient, man. He had seen at least four targets since week seven. He has three touchdowns in that time span. Is he somebody that we could trust starting in your fantasy matchup this week?
I personally like him. I don't know how you feel about him. It seems to be that Kendrick Bourne is the guy that Belichick wants to involve in this offense. Like, we see Jacoby Myers getting, you know, the underneath PPR value, you know, for a slot receiver. Every now and again, we'll see the long, you know, long throw to Nelson Aguilar. But the one who's, like, actually getting plays drawn up for is Kendrick Bourne right now.
And he's extremely efficient with those targets that he's
absolutely
getting,
and Bill Belichick's the type of guy, man, where when you get your opportunity to make it and you make it like Kendrick Bourne has been doing for them, he's going to want to involve him more. Mm-hmm. So I like Kendrick Bourne as a sneaky wide receiver three with a solid floor, but really no ceiling because we know Mac Jones isn't going to throw it that much.
Right. Yep. And I'm with you there with Bourne. He's really the only receiver I want any part of.
I mean, no interest in Hunter Henry anymore.
I said receiver. Yeah, okay. But, okay. You know, I was going to lead into Hunter Henry. I want to ask you about him.
He is going through a rough patch right now.
Three straight weeks, Mike, I wrote about it in my article, three straight weeks that Henry has failed to reach 5.5-point PPR fantasy points.
I'm looking at it right now. His last three games, he's got a total of 8.1 PPR points.
It's bad, but we've talked about it all season. If he wasn't getting the touchdowns, he wasn't really fantasy viable.
Exactly.
But there was a span earlier in this year where I think he scored in 4 or 5 straight games, so he was playable.
It was, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know if we can trust Hunter Henry anymore, because it does seem that since Jonnu Smith has come back, he's getting more involved. He had just one less target than Hunter Henry in that 3-game span, and he's done more with it.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I do like about it is the Colts have allowed the second most yards to the tight end position and the 5th most fantasy points. So the matchup is in Henry's favor, but like you just said, with Jonnu being back, it's a little
sketchy. The volume's
sketchy.
Not there, and yeah. It's really even more touchdown dependent than it was before.
Sure, sure. But if you're in a pitch, which you might be at the tight end position, man, because I sure as hell am in some leagues, he's someone you can plug in there and just, you got to be hoping for a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, would you take him or, Tyler Higbee after coming off that COVID last week?
False positive. I think I'd still lean Hunter Henry, though. I think I'd lean that way.
Yeah, I would too, especially with all the weapons in LA. But I just was curious on your opinion there.
No doubt.
Because we had high hopes for Higbee in the beginning of the year.
Yes, we did, and he failed us, man. He failed us. Let's jump over to the Colts now. Carson Wentz. He's been Carson Wentz this year, man. He's had his ups and downs. Some plays he looks great. Other plays you look at him and be like, all right, what the fuck are you doing?
That's exactly Carson Wentz. He is not that great NFL, but decent fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Fantasy Pros has him at QB21 this week, and I kind of agree with him. This is a brutal, brutal matchup for opposing quarterbacks against the Patriots, man.
Yeah, so, the Patriots defense is top-notch this year. And then they got Mac Jones not really turning the ball over too much, so that defense is getting plenty of rest. Bill Belichick is just humming away in New England, just laughing at the whole NFL for watching Mac Jones fall to him.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It really is. But yeah, I'm staying very far away from Wentz this week.
Yeah, I would be staying away from him as well. Trying to look here. Where are the Indianapolis Colts? There they are. Yeah, I'm not really seeing any big injuries to the Colts either, so it seems like we're pretty good across the board for the Colts as well.
Good news. You're obviously starting Jonathan Taylor, but guys, I wouldn't expect a huge week from him. New England's defense has been playing great, and Belichick likes to take away opposing team's best offensive weapon, so they might do everything they can to slow him down. I'm not saying it's going to happen, man. He still might blow up. He still might have a good week. I'm just trying to temper my expectations, man. I really am.
I seen a stat that said that the Colts, what are they? They're 8-6 right now, I believe.
7-6.
7-6. Thank you. 7-6. They are 7-0 when Jonathan Taylor has 100 rush yards or more, and 0-6 when he does not have 100 rushing yards. They're going to get him involved. Now, here's the thing. It could be a day where Taylor has multiple touchdowns because, like you said, Bill Belichick's going to take away the running game for him. That's their number one thing, which means Carson Wentz is going to have to throw. So, I mean, there might be a tackle down on the 10-yard line, and Jonathan Taylor might get a freebie or two.
Sure. Yeah, I could see that. But what's up?
I just want to let you know your cousin's live from Talking Stick Casino, Arizona.
Awesome, Dino. That's what I'm talking about.
Win some money, Dino.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask you about Michael Pittman. I've been listening to a lot of stuff this week, and there's a lot of people who are scared to play him, man. And I kind of get it with J.C. Jackson kind of becoming a shutdown cornerback in this defense.
J.C. Jackson's good.
Do we have balls enough to sit Michael Pittman this week or no?
Oh, no, I cannot sit Michael Pittman. I'm sorry. He is the number one, the alpha in this, at least receiving core. If they can't run the ball through Jonathan Taylor, you know what they're going to do? They're going to try and throw it to Michael Pittman. Mm-hmm. I know it might not be the greatest volume, but I trust the offensive line of the Colts. I think they'll give Carson Wentz just enough time. I trust the scheme of Frank Reich. I think Michael Pittman, they're going to get him involved short. And then once that defense starts pressing, they're going to try and get him involved deep.
Yeah.
We can't sit Michael Pittman. I'm sorry.
I don't like having to make that decision because I like to play the people who've got you there in your playoff matchups, man. But I'm really nervous, Mike. I really am.
Last three games, he has doubled the amount of targets by any other receiver in this offense.
I get it. The volume should be there. It's just a really
not a great matchup. Yep, it's not a great matchup. This is why you look ahead to your fantasy playoffs for these matchups to make sure you guys get these nice playoff matchups.
No doubt. I don't really feel the need to mention anybody else, so I think we could jump into the next one. Sunday game, a nooner. Carolina Panthers at the pissed off Buffalo Bills. I actually don't know if they're pissed off, but I sure would be after what happened.
Yep, we do have DJ Moore's questionable with a hammy. It's not like I was very high on him anyways. And then there was news of Sam Darnold coming off that injured reserve, but it's looking like it's still likely a week or two away before he's game ready.
Oh, so what do you mean? We're not going to see the three-man rotation at quarterback between him, PJ, and Cam?
If Sam Darnold can't look better than those two, man, you are done in this league, boy.
Yeah, no doubt. But, yeah, we really can't talk about any of the quarterbacks in Carolina. Cam was a flash in the pan.
I'll be honest. I don't think we can talk about the receivers that much either. They're playing the Bills.
Yeah. I do want to touch on my hate for Chuba Hubbard.
Touchdown last week.
He did, but I really don't see that happening again this week, Michael.
Yeah, this one's going to be a tougher one.
I think their game script's going to be dog shit. I think the Bills are going to come out and punch them right in the mouth. And I think Carolina's going to go down early, and we're going to see a lot of Amir Abdullah. I know I said that last week. Abdullah did out. Hubbard outscored Abdullah, but Abdullah outsnapped him 36-28. I was a little bit off on Hubbard because of the matchup, and that was one thing good on you last week where you were a little bit – you weren't thrilled about Hubbard, but you were okay with him because of the matchup. I definitely missed on that, and he found the end zone. So that's good, but this matchup, not the same. I'm out on Chuba.
Yeah, it's it's hard, man. If you need running backs, because running backs are bad right now, guys. They are super bad. You got to play Chuba.
Who would you rather play, Amir Abdullah or Chuba?
Chuba.
I see. We differ there, man. We really do. I think Abdullah's going to be used in the passing game.
And with you're them right. Being but
down, I think he's going to get the PPR work.
He does get involved a little bit in the passing game, but so does Chuba. But the thing I like that kind of, you know, weighs me over Chuba side is the same reason why I liked him last week. He gets the red zone carries, man. He has the best chance to score the touchdown in this offense, I think, because I mean, it's either that or it's Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson gets sprinkled in there every now and again, but there's nothing consistent there besides Cam Newton. I like Chuba Hubbard just for the scoring upside. It's not a great week, not a great matchup. Buffalo Bills are phenomenal against the running backs, but he should have just enough volume to make him an RB2 for you.
Who would you rather start, Chuba Hubbard or Michael Carter off that ankle injury against Chuba Miami? Hubbard.
I can't trust the ankle injury on a running back right off the bat.
Well, the next guy's got an ankle injury to Chase Edmonds.
No, nope, I can't.
It's Chuba Hubbard. Chuba,
yeah.
Okay, how about a guy with another ankle problem? Miles Sanders.
Why don't you pull a COVID problem up?
I could go with the next one, Miles Gaskin. He's coming off the COVID.
Miles Sanders.
Gaskin against the Jets.
I lean Chuba over Miles Sanders, but I lean Gaskin over Chuba.
Yep, okay, I get that. One thing I do want to ask you about the wide receivers, do we like Robbie Anderson if DJ Moore can't go with that hamstring?
I liked him the one time when DJ Moore couldn't go, but he let me down. It's hard to trust him.
You can't.
You can't.
That's the only answer.
Man, if you're a DJ Moore owner and you got Robbie Anderson, I guess throw him in over. but yeah, it depends on your options.
Yep. Agreed. Jump over to the Bills now. Josh Allen, I know, battling a little bit of a foot injury, right, Mike?
Yes, foot injury, but he was off the injury report by the time the trip was to go.
Yeah, he was a full practice participant, yeah. I'm pretty sure. Any other COVID stuff or injuries you need to talk about the Bills or no?
The Bills. There was Emmanuel Sanders. He is doubtful for this game with his, I believe it is his hamstring. Knee. My apologies. Knee. That's pretty much the only one, yeah.
Well, you segued me in right into it because we don't need to talk about the backfield because the only running back you need is Josh Allen, and he's a quarterback in this offense. Is it Gabe Dave season?
I mean, maybe it's Gabe Dave fantasy playoff season, but it hasn't been the whole season.
It might be now, man.
The only person holding them back was Emmanuel Sanders.
And you know Josh Allen likes him in the red zone. I want to say he had 8 touchdowns his rookie season or something close to that, man.
He liked chucking the ball deep to him. That's why.
I know he has a decent amount of red zone targets this season too. So if you're in a pinch and you're missing like DeAndre Hopkins, who was a surprise this week.
I hate to interrupt you, but wow, you are right. Gabe Davis. 6 targets in the past 3 games inside the 20. That doubles Stephon Diggs.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was as much as a red zone threat as they were using him.
But, yeah, if you're someone who has DeAndre Hopkins or Jarvis Landry who's out with COVID or Odell Beckham, I think you might be able to throw Gabe Davis in your lineup.
Gabe Davis or Robbie Anderson?
Gabe Davis.
I think I'm with you.
Better offense, better quarterback. I think, yeah. Count me in, man. I guess we should have did that trade. I think that one was just me, yeah. Dennis from Fantasy Six Pack was offering me a second or third round pick in a dynasty league and Gabe Davis for Derek Carr. So I'm kind of kicking myself on not taking that trade, man.
Yeah, I know.
Team rebuilding.
Emmanuel Sanders was just a 1-year thing for him.
No doubt. And I really like the outlook for Gabe Davis next year.
Yeah, me too. Josh Allen's going to probably take another step forward. Stephon Diggs, he's going to get all the attention, and it's going to be Gabe Davis and probably Dalton Knox again. Mm-hmm.
Sure. And
go ahead. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. I was just going to say, I mean, we can brush over Dawson Knox, but we know we're starting him. A tight end in a high-powered offense like this is what you dream of. He's kind of like a poor man's Gronk when it comes to touchdown.
Yep, he is a red zone machine. Hell, we've even seen him throw. We've seen him throw around there too, man, with him being a former quarterback and stuff. So you never know. He's definitely a start. Not even going to mention the Bills backfield, man.
No, please. I mean, if you have to start one, go Singletary. But it's complete desperation. You're hanging on by one hand off a cliff. And, yeah, it's so bad.
Yep. Next game, Cardinals at Lions. Oh, man. But obviously, you're starting Kyler Murray. The backfield, Mike, James Conner a little banged up.
Yep, with the ankle injuries, questionable for the game. Then you got Chase Edmonds coming off that injured reserve. The word is they're saying he's going to be back for the game, but we also thought this last week, and surprise like that, he never came back. Mm-hmm. And then you got James Conner stealing all my Kyler Murray touchdowns and Scott Fish. But then you also got Zach Ertz is questionable with that hamstring, but he did have a limited practice on Friday.
Okay. All right, well, two-part question. Well,
don't forget about Hopkins, too. He is going to be out for the rest of the season with the surgery to repair his torn MCL.
Not cool, man. Not cool. But I got a two-part question. With Connor banged up and with Edmonds coming back.
Benjamin.
Are you cool with still rolling James Connor out there with Edmonds there, with him being banged up?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but James Conner's absolutely earned a role in this offense. I hate it because it takes away from the ceiling of Kyler Murray, but it also saves Kyler Murray for the playoffs, and that's what they're looking to do.
Next one. And then second part to my question.
If Kyler... Sorry, just having a little dance party over here.
Remix! if Kyler can't go for some reason, can you feel comfortable with Chase going?
Not comfortable, but you're going to have to the Chase Edmonds owners, because you've waited this long for him. And if Connor is out, that's going to be the time where Edmonds can take that full workload. Eno Benjamin's going to be worked in there a little bit, but they trust Edmonds more.
Yep. And then last thing on the Cardinals, I want you to rank the receivers going forward for me.
Can I still put Hopkins first, even though he's injured?
Nope. AJ Green, Christian Kirk, and Rondale Moore.
Man, AJ Green making a comeback. My first analysis, I think I got to go with Christian Kirk, AJ Green, Rondale Moore.
I agree, especially in this matchup. Detroit's not good against receivers, but they are better against outside receivers than they are in the slot. So I'm going to lean Christian Kirk, and we've seen him produce. We've seen AJ Green produce this season as well, but I like Kirk this week.
Kirk has the ceiling. AJ Green has the floor, because believe it or not, in the past three games, AJ Green has outpaced DeAndre Hopkins for targets. Now I know Hopkins was injured the last game, and that plays into the effect, but this is a passing team, and they're throwing it to AJ Green, not Christian Kirk.
Yep. And then we could talk if you have Zach Ertz on your roster, you're starting him. But keep watching to see if that hamstring gets any worse until then and he gets rolled out. So just something to keep paying attention to.
Zach Ertz or Hunter Henry?
Zach Ertz.
Yep, Zach Ertz.
Right. Jumping over to the Lions.
Can we make it quick, please?
Yeah, DeAndre Swift out with the shoulder. Might be placed on IR, right? Or he hasn't been, right?
He has not been placed on IR yet, but he has been ruled out. The one person that has been placed on IR is TJ Hockenson with the hand. He gets surgery to repair that hand, and he's going to be hopefully back by start of next season.
And the tight end position gets worse.
Yep, and then this one's kind of relevant because he did start to pop up, but Josh Reynolds questionable with the thigh.
Mm-hmm. And Jamal Williams is still on the COVID-19 reserve list. Correct?
Yeah, he has not practiced. It's so weird. He's been out forever. Mm-hmm. At least Mark Ingram's practiced this week.
Couple things. Has Amon-Ra St. Brown earned our trust? Gotta be pretty close, man. He's seen a whole boatload of targets.
It's close. Yes, I'll give you that. It is close, but it's hard to trust any receiver on this team that you're not playing out of desperation.
Sure. And that's the whole issue.
There's not much touchdown opportunities here. So you have a poor man's Jacoby Myers who's just getting PPR points. That's it. His one touchdown in the past three games was the game-winning one. Sorry, go ahead.
And then the backfield, we should just touch on it because Craig Robinson looked pretty good last week as he burst on the scene coming out of nowhere. And then Godwin Iwabukwe, he is the pass catcher in the offense. He did fumble last week, didn't end up losing it towards the goal line. I'm sorry, guys. You can't do it. You can't trust it.
No, you don't. I mean, we only trusted DeAndre Swift in this offense because of the PPR value. That was the only reason.
Yep. But yeah, that's it for the Lions. Jump into the next one. Jets and the Dolphins.
This could be another quick one.
game. Yep. What's going on in the injury front with the Jets, Mike?
Injury front with the Jets. Let me load them up here. It's hard to find them even when I want to find them. Michael Carter, injured reserve, like we said. He is expected to be activated. It says Robert Sala says the rookie will have a significant role if he is playing in this game. I still think that if there's any pregame hiccups, they're not going to play him.
I think fire him up, to be honest with you. He had a big role before the injury, and if they believe he's good to go, Mike, I'm going to trust him because he's a rookie. He's part of their future, they need to do anything they can to keep him healthy. So I think if he's not healthy, they won't play him.
That's what I'm sitting behind too.
Yeah, but
he's one. I mean, him and Elijah Moore have been the two brightest parts of this offense this year. And I'll tell you what, Zach Wilson, not even close.
Nope. Yeah, it's so unfortunate, man. It really is. The pass catchers, we don't want anything to do with them.
No, Elijah Moore was the only one we liked before, but he got injured right after Corey Davis. Let's go, Braxton Berrios.
Yes. Let's go.
Maybe Denzel Mims finally gets some playing time.
Jump over to the Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa. He's a top 12 quarterback this week, guys. If you have any worries about your quarterbacks, I think you can swap him for Tua, and you should be totally comfortable with that, even without Waddle, with him going on COVID-19 reserve list. I'm still totally comfortable starting Tua. Are you, Mike?
I'm not as comfortable as you, but I can get behind it. My only problem is the Jets are so bad against the run. They might just run it down their throats.
Yeah, my argument was a little better for Tua when they didn't have any running backs. But now that they got Myles Gaskin, Salvin
Ahmed.
Thank you. And I'm not sure if Malcolm Brown's off of IR, but I know he's pretty close. So that might temper it a little bit. And like I said, Waddle, he's on the COVID reserve list. But they did get Devontae Parker back, correct?
Yes. Yes, they did get Devontae Parker back. And Malcolm Brown has been designated to return from IR.
Okay. I think Devontae Parker is a wide receiver 3, man, this week, especially in this matchup. It's them soft tissue injuries with him, man. I feel like he's always dealing with them. But when he's on the field, we've seen that him and Tua have a decent connection, man. So if he's healthy, kind of like the same thing with Michael Carter, if they feel like he's healthy enough to go and he can go, I think I'm rolling him out there.
I like Devontae Parker. I don't like his soft tissue injuries. My only fear with him is he is going to start the game, but there's no guarantees he will finish the game.
I know it.
That is our only issue. And I mean, Dolphins want to win this game. I'm pretty sure they still have a chance at a wild card here.
Oh yeah, man. 6 in a row.
Exactly. And they're playing hot right now. I can see them wanting to get Devontae Parker involved. But like I said, I'm just afraid of the injury. But you don't want to not play a guy just because of injury. The fear of injury, basically. If they say he's healthy, play him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Then Gesicki, man. We had a conversation about this earlier in the week. I'm like, dude, I called you. I'm like, why is Gesicki so far down in ECR for Fantasy Pros? And he's all the way down to 12. But then I looked at his stats recently, and it's like, oh, okay, that's why.
he's not been that great recently. No. I mean, granted, he had 11 targets last week. That's phenomenal.
He's just not doing much with him.
No, like, 7 catches for 46 yards. Woohoo!
Yeah, no, I mean, 11 PPR points.
You reach that 10-point threshold for tight ends that we love, but that's for streaming tight ends.
He's supposed to be top 6.
Exactly. Exactly. That's for streaming tight ends. We're looking for that 10-point threshold. With 11 targets, man, you should be doing more. I'm skeptical of him, especially with Devontae Parker coming back. And you got Myles Gaskin more involved, coming back, and he's going to be involved. They love using him around the red zone. It doesn't look like Gesicki's getting much red zone looks at all. Only he had 2 looks last week and 1 reception for 4 yards. Mm-hmm.
It does seem like Waddle had been the red zone target, but we've also seen Devontae Parker as a red zone target throughout his career. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this week with Gesicki.
I think we can move on, but I just want to say I believe Myles Gaskin is playing. He came off the COVID list. I did not see anything confirming that he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fire him off. This is a phenomenal matchup. I know that we've been skeptical on Myles Gaskin a little bit, but he's been showing the red zone work. He's getting the volume, and he's got a phenomenal matchup. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 12 running back this week.
Myles Gaskin or Javonte Williams?
Myles Gaskin, only because Javonte Williams is a little banged up.
Okay. We'll get into that when we get to the Broncos game. The next game, Cowboys at the Giants, another kind of game. What's going on in the injury front with the Cowboys, Mike?
Cowboys. Where are you?
I know.
Tony Pollard was limited with the foot and Friday. He is questionable. My guess is since they sat him out last week, they're going to start him again this week. Zeke's not even on the report right here, man.
Yep. I was just going to say Zeke was off the injury report, which is a good sign, I guess.
It is, but a bad sign is Tyron Smith has been ruled out again for the Cowboys, and that is a big hit to that O-line.
Mike, that O-line's no longer elite. We can't talk like that offensive line is great anymore because it's not. It's not,
but Tyron Smith is the guy there. Mm-hmm. And without him, that O-line is brutal.
It definitely hurts. But, yeah, you're starting Zeke.
I'm fine firing up every player in this matchup against the Giants.
Let's just touch on Dak a little bit, man, because he's been a disappointment for his owners lately. He's struggling a bit.
Yeah, no, and it's because of the offensive line issues with Tyron Smith. He has missed, I want to say the past three games. And he struggles when Tyron Smith. I want to say his QBR drops a full, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but 15 QBR when Tyron Smith's out compared to when he's in.
Sure.
That big of a difference how much he does for that offensive line. So that's the reason I think Dak's struggling. But
Andy doesn't move very well since the leg injury, Mike. He's thrown five interceptions in his last four games. It's definitely not like Dak. 11 fantasy points his last game and 12 fantasy points the week before that. That's just not cutting it, especially in the fantasy playoffs. But I get it. He's probably your only quarterback on your roster, but I think I'd I'm tempering expectations until further notice.
Who would you rather start? Oh, fuck. I forgot who we were talking about here.
Dak
Prescott or – I have it here. Come on. Dak Prescott or Jimmy Garoppolo against the Falcons?
Dak still.
Exactly. Even in a great matchup for these streamer-type quarterbacks that we would actually think about throwing in for Dak.
But here, let me ask you this, Mike. How about Taysom Hill or Dak? Because that's a possibility someone could have Taysom Hill. Someone could have those two guys. And that one's a thinker.
I actually would probably lean Dak. My first initial thought on Taysom, I love him. All right. Don't get me wrong. I love him. But his let's say, specialty is running the ball. And what can't we do against the Tampa Bay defense?
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't know that that's the same for quarterbacks as it is for running backs.
Well, I mean, if they got a whole week to prepare for it.
Sure. But that was a thinker. That was definitely a thinker.
I think I'm still firing up Dak over most of these guys.
And then you're firing up CD as a wide receiver one. You're firing up Amari Cooper as a wide receiver two. You're firing up Gallup as a wide receiver three. The person who worries me a little bit, man, is Dalton Schultz now because he's just not seeing the work that he was when Gallup wasn't there and there was only one or two of these guys there. He's the fourth option, maybe even the fifth option behind the running backs in the passing game. I'm really worried about him, man, and he's not one of those set it and forget it tight ends anymore.
Yeah. I really liked Dalton Schultz at the beginning of the year, but it did seem like most of his work was attributed to that Michael Gallup injury. With Gallup back, Amari Cooper rolling, CD rolling, I just can't see Dalton Schultz being worth streaming anymore. Like, I'm to the point where I think I'd start Hunter Henry over Dalton Schultz.
Cole Kmet or Dalton Schultz?
I think I'm starting Cole Kmet.
I think I am too, especially with Allen Robinson on the COVID list.
Yep.
Jumping over to the Giants, what's going on with them on the injury front, Mike? Is Daniel Jones going to play?
He's practicing, but it does not look like he is going to play. It looks like it's going to be another He did practice, but I'm seeing right here he has been ruled out for Sunday's game, which means it's going to be another Mike Glennon week. Sterling Shepard was added to the injury report Friday after he missed the whole week of being on it with a calf injury.
Surprise, he tweaked his calf. Oh man, you're not starting any of these pass catchers if you can help it.
Sterling Shepard's the only one I'm starting.
Yeah, yeah. And
Saquon Barkley if you have to.
Yeah, just this whole offense is down. I mean, and I know it's Daniel Jones, but this offense takes a downturn with Jones not being in and Glenn in that quarterback, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely don't like it. But I think we pretty much skip right over that and go to the next one.
Yeah, one second before we go. First, we got our good friend Bob Dole. How's it going, man? He's got Stafford and Cup, has the game postponed until Tuesday. Does he roll the dice, see if it gets canceled, or does he pick up Big Ben? I can't see the game getting canceled just yet. They put too much work into postponing these games, making it a doubleheader on Monday night, making it a doubleheader on Tuesday. We're getting into the nitty gritty weeks of the year where, you know, playoff seeding is decided. And I know Goodell does not want to lose out on his money for these type of games. Like, look what the Chargers and Chiefs just probably racked up in revenue last night. I mean, he's gonna be getting so much revenue from having these Tuesday night games, these Monday night games. I can't see it getting canceled. Now, there was good news on Odell Beckham. He did test negative from the COVID, so it does seem that, you know, it's starting to dissipate a little bit with the Rams, which is a good sign that it won't get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So I say just roll with who you got there. Who got you there, Bob?
I agree. The only thing that I'm worried about, Mike, is, and Bob, if Stafford and Cooper Kupp get the Rona, that's the only thing. Because, and you know, in our home league, I'm an owner of Stafford and Kupp as well. Let's just hope that it doesn't happen.
I mean, if you have the bench spot, go pick up Big Ben to be safe.
Yeah.
If you have it. But if you don't, oh man, it's so hard to do it. Yeah. Not play Stafford and Kupp. And then I just want to give you some more shit. Dean says $10 says Schultz has a better than Cole Kmet.
All right, guys, I'll take you on that.
Just because you're in Vegas doesn't mean you can win money from us too.
He's in Arizona, he's not in Vegas.
Oh yeah, man. My bad. Walking stick casino.
Close though.
I mean, you're that close to Vegas and you're not in Vegas.
Next game, Titans at the Steelers. Man, oh man. We just saw what happens to the Steelers run defense, man. But I don't want to play any of these Titans running backs. Do you? It was Dontrell Hilliard 1 week, and then he's the worst one last week. It's Deontay Foreman 1 week.
That's the one, I mean.
Foreman's probably the one I lean.
I liked Foreman before Hilliard even came onto the scene. They went out and got Foreman. Hilliard, I'm pretty sure, they didn't even sign him. He just happened to be on the wasn't he on the practice squad, I'm pretty sure?
I'm not sure.
But I like Foreman. I like this matchup against the Steelers. Look what Dalvin Cook did to him last week. I know it's Dalvin Cook, but the Steelers have been atrocious in the past 4 weeks against the running backs, allowing the most points to running backs. I think, honestly, that you're not going to like this for me. I think both running backs are viable in this situation, but I'd rather have Deontay Foreman.
Ugh. Gross. I've stayed away. Stayed away. I'm also stayed away from the pass catchers. This matchup is so good, but, man, I just don't trust it. I don't trust it, especially in fantasy playoff time. Especially Julio.
Yeah, I mean –
he's just playing less and less snaps, man. The NFL knew something was up when we were all wondering why it took so long for him to get traded and Tennessee didn't have to give up a whole ton for him, you know? And then it's like, oh, okay. That's why. I mean, he can't even play a full game.
This is the first time in his whole career that he's had two injury-riddled seasons like this. Usually when he's had injuries, he's played through them, he's fought through them, but he can't do it anymore. He's getting too old.
He might be toast. The only guy I'm even thinking about starting is – what's his name?
Westbrook Akini.
That's what it is. He's the only person I'm thinking about.
I mean,
but I don't love it either, Mike.
I don't love it either, but Julio Jones still got 6 targets last week. And they crushed Jacksonville 20-0. I think you still got to play Julio, man.
You got to play him? No. Shut your mouth.
I think you do. Because they are so deprived, man.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it. AJ Green or Julio Jones?
AJ Green.
Devonta Smith or Julio Jones?
Oh, man. Who does Devonta Smith play?
Washington.
Ooh, Devonta Smith.
KJ Osborne or Julio Jones?
That one's a good one. I lean Julio.
Wow. I disagree 100%.
You like KJ more, huh?
Yeah, I do.
I think one catch saved his week last week. Trust me. I owned him. I seen that catch.
I know. I was so happy for it. It was nasty, too. One of the only good throws Kirk made all game.
But, man, it's so hard to replicate that every week in and week out.
Let's jump over to the Steelers now, Mike.
Najee, start him.
Yep. But Big Ben, I wanted to talk to you about him. Three straight games. As a top 12 receiver, the matchup is sexy AF. I'm a little old to be saying that, but I think you're firing him up.
I think he's a good streamer this week.
Like, it's Big not Ben sexy. Dak. It's not sexy. Dak, Big Ben or Dak? Phil,
I lean Dak. It's close. Man, there's an argument for Big Ben the way he's been playing the past 3 games. He had, what was it, his best week of the year last week, and then the week before that, it was the best week of the year. Like, he just keeps kind of topping himself right now. Now, it's a great matchup. I think it could be one of those, you know, trappy kind of games where it just run Pittsburgh, run Tennessee.
Yeah, it might.
Slow pace type.
That's the thing that worries me. You're absolutely right that it could be a slower pace game because both teams want to run. They want to run the football, so.
But I like Big Ben. He's been showing that he still has something left in the tank, even though if he can't throw it 40 yards down the field. It's so fun watching him throw. It's like, remember when Phillip Rivers was throwing it deep and you just kind of like, oh, my God, is it going to make it? Is it going to even go there? Oh, wow, it made it. That's how I feel every time with Big Ben.
Deontay Johnson, you're starting him. We talked about Najee. I feel stupid for having to ask you this, Mike. But I think I need to. Are you worried at all about Chase Claypool losing some snaps, maybe being even benched a little bit from the stupid shit he did last week?
I can see it. Tomlin's that type of guy.
I know.
Andy
might be that type of guy who doesn't tell you before the game that he's going to be benched. Sitting on the sideline with the helmet on.
I don't think he's going to get benched completely. Let's be honest, this offense is stagnant when they don't have all the pieces together for it. They need Chase Claypool at least to be on the field. Whether he gets involved is going to be the question. But Claypool is
– This. I agree, Mike. This isn't the time to send a message. They're 6-1. They're
better. Exactly. They're still bad. Like, thanks to the Ravens losing another game, the Steelers have a chance to still win this division. The Browns lost. I mean, this division's wide open and the Steelers can run away with it.
Yep.
It's no time to be stupid and play silly with Claypool. You know, make sure he learned what he did in practice, but I wouldn't be benching him.
Yep. I agree. And then the Muth is on the loose still.
Oh my gosh. I love the Muth.
Yep. You're firing him up and you're rolling him out.
I start him over most tight ends. The one thing I want to know, would you start him over Dawson Knox?
No.
Would you start both of them if you had them?
Think about it. I think about it.
That's my dilemma.
let's jump into this awesome game. The next one, man, this poop facta. Texans versus the Jaguars.
Man, we might have a good game from Jacksonville. Finally, Urban Meyer kicked to the curb. Texans are one defense you can actually get some yards on.
Mike. Well, is there anything on the injury front before we jump into it?
James Robinson with a knee and heel, but he's always on that damn injury front. But he's most likely going to play. But that's pretty much it when it comes to relevant players.
I might be going out on a limb here, but I feel like Jacksonville is going to try and run it down Houston's throat to try and prove a point and be like, yeah, our coach was an idiot. Urban Meyer, he's an asshole.
Have four rushing yards last week?
Let's get the ball to our best offensive player and let's go to town.
I will say this. Now, it's no guarantees. I just want to throw a little, info out there. The interim head coach is Darren Bevell.
Yeah.
And that was the guy who brought over Marvin Jones. Now that Urban Meyer is out, maybe Marvin Jones gets a little bit more involved in this offense.
Deep dart throw.
I like him for DFS. He's got some appeal for me. I picked him up in a few leagues, to be honest with you, people who dropped him, for a playoff run just to have some depth.
Sure.
I think there's potential there. He's had success with Darren Bevell before.
Okay. I don't necessarily agree with you there. I can't disagree about the production with Darren Bevell because he has had it, but yeah, I can't, not someone that I could trust this week.
I'm hoping Trevor Lawrence can have a great game because it looks like, man, he was just bogged down by Urban Meyer's shenanigans.
Yes, he absolutely was. Only person we're really starting in the Texas offense is Brandon Cooks.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you.
I'm going to go out and say he's better with Davis Mills at quarterback.
Yes.
I feel more confident in Brandon Cooks. Yep.
Hyper-targeted. Yep. I love it. So we can move on to our next game here, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Denver Broncos.
You want to run us through some?
Sure. I can give us some.
You have the injuries up, Ed. I'll keep running us through. Let's just go ahead and keep doing that.
All right.
Bengals at Broncos. A little intrigued by this one.
We do have T. Higgins coming off the injury report, so that's good news for the Bengals. Also, Joe Burrow is off the injury report as well.
That is good. I was worried about Joe last week with that finger, but he shut me up and was still pretty good. The thing that – you know who leads the league in interceptions, Mike?
Is it Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not surprised. He does have that gunslinger mentality.
Yeah, definitely does. I wasn't trying to say that in a knock or anything, but how do you feel about him this week?
It's a tough matchup against Denver.
It's not great. It's not a good one, that's for sure.
But I like the weapons to overcome the defense of Denver. Mm-hmm. I think Denver's had the benefit of looking good against some pretty bad teams. Bengals, they're not bad. They're just inconsistent. And they could have one of these weeks. This week they got the full, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. They have everybody. I like Joe Burrow this week. What's more surprising to you, Joe Burrow leading the league in interceptions or Kirk Cousins only having 5 interceptions on the year?
All right, Kirk. That's pretty cool.
It's kind of fucked up, isn't it?
Yeah, things that make you go up. No doubt, no doubt. You're starting Joe Mixon. It's great to hear T. Higgins is off the injury report because he's been phenomenal the last 2 weeks.
You're starting him and Jamar Chase.
Yeah, Chase has been a little bit down, but he's got you here for the most part, and he's someone you're still rolling out there.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing a quote that said now that he's, bursted on the scene, he's seeing a lot of double teams, and he's learning his way to work through these double teams, and this is him working through those double teams, and that's why T. Higgins started to see more.
It's probably why he's been so fire, but I think you were going to say earlier before I interrupted you, is Tyler Boyd's irrelevant?
I wasn't going to say irrelevant, but we can sit him in this matchup. He's a matchup-dependent wide receiver 3 in this offense.
Okay. CJ Uzoma, no thanks.
No thanks.
Jumping over to the Broncos offense, Teddy Bridgewater, again, no thanks. But I do want to talk to you about the running backs. They both killed it last week. Granted, they had a good matchup. Melvin Gordon had over 100 yards. Javonte Williams got in the end zone twice, I want to say. I know we said earlier Javonte Williams a little banged up with the hip injury, but should be good to go.
I have it right here. Yep, knee listed questionable, but he had a limited practice on Friday, so he is good. And then Gordon was also questionable with that thumb and that hip, but he was practicing in a limited fashion. Mm-hmm.
And he came back in the game last week after he did that, so I think you can start both of them, both running backs. The Bengals defense is improved, but it's still not great.
I'm going to go back to what I said. I can't remember if I said it on Sunday or last weekend, but man, I don't think we can start any player on this offense other than the running backs.
Agreed. They would just want to run it down their throat, man.
That's all they want to do, man. And when it comes to passing the ball, hey, we're passing it to the running backs.
Yeah, that is.
100%. I don't know if that's a Teddy Bridgewater thing or a Vic Fangio thing with his offense, or
I think it's probably a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both.
But I think, I mean, we can make it real quick. I think you can sit Cortland. You can sit Jerry Jeudy. I'm doing it in a bunch of leagues. You can sit Noah Fant. I'm starting him, unfortunately, because I have to. And you can only really start Melvin Gordon and Javonte out of this offense for the time being.
I agree. Next game, Falcons at the 49ers, man. Sneaky game, actually. Falcons still hanging around 6-7. Might be the worst 6-7 team I've ever seen.
Hey, when I tell you about Arthur Smith, man,
Mike, they suck.
They win somehow, though. I don't know.
They suck.
It's Cordell Patterson just fucking hopping on really the backpack,
is.
Man.
It really is. Arthur Smith has definitely unlocked Cordero Patterson. And it's going to be, I know I keep bringing this up, but it's going to be so intriguing to see where he goes in drafts next season.
Oh, he's going to be in that running back dead zone, and it's going to kill everybody next year because I don't think he's going to be able to replicate this season.
But what if he is? What if he's awesome again? Yeah, he's winning.
You can push all your chips in on Cordell Patterson. I pushed my chips in on Mike Davis, and look how that happened. How that worked out for
Mike Davis. I'll tell you who we're not pushing our chips in for is Matt Ryan. He's borderline QB2. This matchup isn't bad. San Francisco is their secondary is not great, but I'm staying away from Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I'm staying again. Matt Ryan is not the great quarterback matchup. I don't like him as a quarterback too. You start him only if you absolutely have to. Otherwise, bench his ass.
Agreed. We talked about Cordero already. Must start. Excuse me. Russell Gage.
Yes, start him. I like him.
He got a little less work last week than he had seen in the past couple
of
weeks.
He's the Calvin Ridley role in this offense, mm-hmm. though.
Yeah, I'm cool with him too. You're starting Kyle Pitts. You just still love it because he's been so up and down. I want to say he's only had two top 12 weeks this season or something wild.
Yeah, and
like
they were
that.
Back-to-back.
Yeah, man, so it's not great, but you drafted him high and
you got to play him. There's not, I mean, unless you got lucky and managed to steal a Gronk off the waiver wire very early in the season, you have to play him.
Yep. And then over to the 49ers now. Jimmy Garoppolo, we talked about it earlier. Good matchup, man, and he is
I like it.
Streamer possibility.
Absolutely. He has been playing great lately, as of late.
Mm-hmm. And this offense is humming. It doesn't sound like Elijah Mitchell's going to play, correct?
Man, you got me on that one. I wasn't ready for that one.
Sorry, but
Elijah Mitchell concussion isn't practicing Friday. Appears unlikely to play in Sunday's game. Yes, sir. You are correct.
So we're going to get to see Debo Samuel at halfback / wide receiver. So
I seen a stat today. He leads the team in rushing and receiving touchdowns. What the hell's going on?
It's so totally awesome.
Stop using him as a running back. Use him as a wide receiver, guys.
Yeah, Mike, they're hot. They're 7-6. They're playing a ton better. It's good. Jeff Wilson, a little disappointing. I know we were kind of high on him on the Sunday show, and he's getting some of the work, but he's just not cashing in. He's a borderline running back, too-ish.
I'll be honest, with Elijah Mitchell out, I don't like any running back in this offense because it's clear when Mitchell is out, they will involve Debo more into the running game. And they really, I mean, and if it's not Debo, it's Kyle Juszczyk. I think the only running back we can trust out of the San Francisco backfield is Elijah Mitchell.
Agreed. And then in the pass catchers, you start Debo Samuel. You're starting Brandon Ayuk.
I like it.
Yes, he made it into the I don't know what I'm looking to say, but he made it into the safe zone. The circle.
Brandon Ayuk in the past three games has 22 targets. Debo Samuel has 7.
Yeah. It's
apparently it's like they're like, all right, Ayuk, you got Debo's role, but Debo's got this new role.
And if you were a team that drafted George Kittle, man, and you happen to get in the playoffs, he didn't tank your season, just get in his backpack and hop on, because he might carry to the promised land.
Yeah, it's time for the tight ends to just go off. Kelce for 40, Kittle for 40. Let's go Mark Andrews for 40.
Yep, let's go. Let's go. Speaking of Mark Andrews, man, yep. Nice fucking segue, Mike. Packers at the Ravens. Unfortunately, Mark might not have his quarterback, Lamar Jackson, banged up with that low ankle sprain.
Yep, he was listed as questionable, and he did not practice this whole week.
It's definitely an uphill battle. It's definitely an uphill battle, Mike.
I can tell you what, though. Tyler Huntley looked good in his replacement.
He did.
Against the Packers, though, I don't know.
Let's talk pass catchers, because Bateman looked awesome with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. Andrews still doing his thing with Huntley at quarterback. But can we trust Marquise Brown, especially with – I talked about article because he's my sit guy this week. And it's not because Jaire Alexander's there, because I'm not sure if he's back or not.
He's trending to be back, but it's not official just yet. He has been practicing.
But even if he's not, Mike, J.J. Stokes, that's his name, correct?
Nope, Eric Stokes. Come on, man. He's been playing good. I definitely criticize them for that first-round pick, and I usually do on all their first-round picks because it's never a wide receiver. But, yeah, Eric Stokes has been doing well.
He's so fast, Mike. Yep. So he's going to be
track star, man.
He's going to be able to
He'll be able to hold his own with Marquise Brown. And I was
exactly.
I was going to tell you, Marquise Brown is actually dealing with an illness and was listed as questionable for the game against Packers as well. He is probably going to play, but he might be a little slower with that illness.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree with you there.
Man, Devontae Freeman, though, kicking ass. Yeah. I think he's a solid RB, high-end RB2 this week.
Yeah, that's kind of why I just skipped over him. And exactly, he's a high-end RB2. Especially Packers are without their nose tackle, Kenny Clark. I saw he's on the COVID-19.
That's why I think he's high-end RB2 this week. I think he can – with Kenny Clark's a force, man.
He really is. I seen him wreck the game against the Bears last Monday a couple of times, so –
I criticized the Packers when they picked him in the first round as well.
That's because you're a salty Packers fan, man. You're a salty Packers fan.
But, no, if they can make me eat my words, they make me eat my words. And Kenny Clark is phenomenal. He has to be one of the top five tight ends in the league right now.
Defensive lineman in the league, yep.
Yeah, tight ends. Defensive tackle is what I meant.
Now let's talk about the Packers on the offensive side of the ball. Are you worried about Aaron Rodgers with his COVID at all or no?
No, not at all, especially the way he has been playing lately. Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you who I am worried about is A.J. Dillon. I'm sorry, not A.J. Dillon. Aaron Jones I'm worried about because A.J. Dillon has out-touched him the last couple of weeks.
I know, and I told this to Joe, and I wanted to be on the record. I think A.J. Dillon can be a sneaky league winner this year coming down the fantasy stretch. With Aaron Jones being beat up, Packers can see themselves as – a deep playoff team. And if you're a deep playoff team, you want Aaron Jones healthy. And what more to get him healthy than let him take some of that load off and give it to this big motherfucker we drafted in the second round last year.
And Mike, when it's cold out, what do teams love to do when it's cold out and it's snowing? And they're going to want to do that with A.J. Dillon. And defenses are going to hate tackling that guy when it's freezing cold. And here, I'll throw myself under the bus. I criticized them for drafting A.J. Dillon when they did.
That was actually the one I did not criticize as bad as all the other ones, surprisingly.
But Mike, can we shit on the Packers for 30 seconds? Because this was brought up between our friend Keith and our friend Zach at Bola. We were talking about this. Why would they not take that money that they paid Aaron Jones, paid Corey Lindsey?
I asked this in the offseason.
Maybe even re-sign Jamal Williams instead of Aaron Jones and maybe do a committee with Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon and still have Corey Lindsey. I don't quite get why they drafted A.J. Dillon and then gave Aaron Jones that money. When they need to sign Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers also wants whatever he wants.
Honestly, and this is just my Packer bias thinking. and now I try my best not to be biased when it comes to that, but the way Matt LaFleur runs his offense, he wants to be balanced. And I think,
oh yeah.
And I think he thought he needed to get another top-notch RB in case Aaron Jones gets hurt, because this is not the first time he's gotten hurt. I mean, so I can see them, that being the reason. I think Matt LaFleur influenced that pick a little bit. Man, you are so right. I argued it all offseason. Why didn't they go spend money on Corey Lindsey? Why did they let Jamal Williams go?
Yeah, man, it was totally weird. Totally weird. The only pass catcher, though, I want to start is Davante Adams.
I like Alan Lazard. I like Lazard. Lazard's been sneaky good the past couple of weeks. Let me pull up his stats right here.
I don't love it. I've kind of been trying to talk myself into Lazard and MVS, you know, but we talked about them a few times. I think I said to start MVS on the Start Sit Show on Sunday.
So this is – now, let me explain it, because we never really went over the injuries. This is why I like Alan Lazard a little bit. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is questionable and might not play.
Okay.
And if he's out, Randall Cobb out, I love me some Alan Lazard.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that. Put him in a flex. Feel all right about it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think we spent enough time on the Packers.
Yes, we did. let's answer one of our questions from one of our fans here, Ivan. He wants us to choose one. Just one. Saquon, Gibson, or Carter?
I want to say Gibson. Let me check the matchup real quick.
Gibson plays Seattle. Yep. My apologies. Philadelphia. That one's a tough one against the run defense.
Yeah, Mike, that's a little different than Seattle.
Sorry, I had to scroll down just a little bit more.
I'm still going to go Gibson. That's where I'm going to lean.
So we got Gibson against Philadelphia. We got Saquon against Dallas. And then we got Michael Carter
against Miami.
Against Miami.
I go Gibson, Ivan. I like the volume that he's seen the last few weeks, and they're trying to get him more involved in the offense, and he looks healthy. He's definitely talented. We've seen that. It's just a matter of those touches, and he's been getting them. So I'm going to roll with Gibson.
Okay. So, all right. I looked at the injuries. JD McKissick has been ruled out for, he was ruled out for the game on Sunday, but since it got moved back to Tuesday, he does still have a chance to play. That's what scares me off Gibson. If McKissick – man, we're not going to know about McKissick until Tuesday. Honestly, I think I'm going to go Saquon. They're going to get down big to Dallas. They're going to have to throw the ball. A lot of injuries to the wide receivers. Sterling Shepard doesn't play. I mean, Mike Glennon's going to have to just dump it off to Saquon.
Okay. Hey. Next game, jumping back into the game previews, Saints at the Buccaneers. Talk about the Saints a little bit. Taysom Hill.
Dean's calling you out. Gibson was trash last week. we love you, Dean.
I got to go back and look at his touches. Keep going, Mike.
All right. So what were we talking about? New Orleans and Tampa Bay?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we'll hit those injuries real quick first. For on the Tampa Bay side, Leonard Fournette popped up late on the practice report for injury with that ankle. This is questionable. I don't see it being a major issue, but do monitor it, because Giovanni Bernard did get placed on the injured reserve, which means if Fournette does not play, I think we love some Ronald Jones this week.
Yeah, no, we definitely do, but Lenny should be okay. But yeah, I agree with you.
All right. And then just we'll skim over the Saints injuries real quick if I could find them.
Let me come back at my cousin Dean for a minute. Yes, I'm looking at his stat line, Dean. He had 10, only 10 attempts for 36 yards. But now that I'm thinking about it, Dallas was kicking Washington's ass. I want to say they were up 20-0, right? So that's what gave scripted Gibson out of the game. Because the 4 weeks
McKissick was out, and the whole thing with him is getting the PPR work without McKissick.
Yeah.
And it still doesn't seem like he's getting that full workload.
No, but the 4 weeks previous to that, Mike, he saw 24 attempts, 19 attempts, 29 attempts, and 23 attempts. And those were in all positive game script and wins. So
he's kind of like Josh Jacobs a little bit.
Yeah, I like their chances against Philadelphia to at least be a close game. So, like I said, I like Gibson, but we'll talk about that a little. I mean, we already talked about him, so we won't probably talk about that a little bit. But keep going with the Saints.
You know, with the Saints here, we got no major Kamara? Injuries. No major injuries. Kamara's not on the injury report, which means we are firing up, and he's pretty much the only one we are firing up.
And Taysom Hill, yep.
Oh, yeah, Taysom Hill, obviously. He's the cheat code for fantasy football. It's a shame he's not listed as a tight end anymore.
Yeah, and definitely breaks fantasy a little bit with him.
Man, other than that, we are not starting anybody else on the Saints team comfortably. We cannot start Mark Ingram if Alvin Kamara is going to be the lead guy. He's just going to get scraps to Kamara.
Yeah, and the pass catchers are gross too.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll move straight on to Tampa Bay, where this one's a little bit easier. You're starting Mike Evans. You're starting Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. If Leonard Fournette plays, we're obviously starting him. If not, you know, keep an eye out for Ronald Jones, because I guarantee you there's not many teams that are rostering Ronald Jones right now.
You're also not sitting Brady, man, but man, does he struggle against the Saints. Mm-hmm. It hasn't beat him in the regular season since he's been with the Bucs.
This is true, but here's the thing you don't know about Tom Brady. He has never lost three straight divisional games to divisional opponents.
All right, let's go, Tom. Blow up. Put your stamp.
Even last year, they lost two straight to New Orleans, and then what happened in the playoffs? Fucking Tampa Bay.
Yeah, they got a couple. They got a couple calls go their way, and they figured it out.
That's Tampa Bay's way. They get the calls their way. That was last week against Buffalo.
Yep.
But yeah, start Rob Gronkowski, and you know that's pretty chalk right there. So we can move on to our Monday matchups, if you want to.
Sure, go ahead. I'm actually – this has the Vikings-Bears listed first, but I'm going to jump into the Raiders-Browns because that's actually at 4 o'clock on Monday.
Hopefully, I'll still be working by then. What the hell?
I might actually be too. So, but yeah,
that's a lie. You only work half days.
Take it easy. You're just going to call me out right now. My wife's probably watching.
Your sugar mama?
Well, let's talk about the Raiders' offense a bit, man. Derek Carr started out great, hot, 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 hot. But he's come back down to earth, and even though the Browns are COVID-ridden.
This offense is in shambles, man. Mm-hmm. Ever since, like, we thought it was going to – it took a minor jump when Gruden was fired. That's because we had Waller.
Yep.
Ever since Waller's been out, this offense is just
besides Hunter Renfro for fantasy, because he's now become a borderline wide receiver one with Darren Waller not in the game.
Man.
With Waller there, he's a wide receiver too, but I'm 100%
two comfortable. Two straight games with 100 yards.
100% comfortable.
Nine receptions each game.
He's a must play, Mike. Did you ever think we were going to say that about Hunter Renfro this year?
I mean, did we ever think we were going to say that about Wes Welker in his career?
Or Cordero Patterson.
Or Cordero Patterson, for that matter.
No doubt, man. I hear you there.
But, yeah, I think the only two players you can start confidently are Josh Jacobs and Hunter Renfro.
Yep, I agree. And so Darren Waller, if he's there.
Well, yeah, but he's been ruled out this week already.
Gotcha. Okay, missed that.
Yep. Other than that. Yeah, we can probably move on to this COVID-riddled Cleveland Browns team.
Nick Mullins led Cleveland Browns.
Hey, man, Nick Mullins helped San Fran win a couple games.
It's Nick Chubb or bust, and then Donovan Peoples-Jones on a dart throw. Mike, we talked about it earlier.
Man.
We roster him in a dynasty.
I think there is some value in D'Ernest Johnson. All right. We've seen it. They want to run two running backs. Kareem Hunt has been ruled out this week. I can see some value for D'Ernest Johnson.
He did score a touchdown when it was just Chubb and him a few weeks back when Kareem Hunt was still on IR. So I can see that. But
I'm telling you right now,
he
might
be touchdown dependent, Mike.
He needs to be rostered in all leagues. Okay. We have seen how easy it is for Kareem Hunt to get injured. Like now,
Nick Chubb as well. Yeah,
exactly. If Nick Chubb goes down, now you can't predict this stuff, But if Nick Chubb goes down, man, do you have a league winner in D'Ernest Johnson? Because I guarantee you everybody dropped him.
I can't wait to see what team he goes to at the end of this year in this offseason, man, because he looks pretty good. It might just be that scheme, because that scheme makes all running backs look good. But when he was in, he looked like a stud, that's for sure.
Yes. But
do we need to talk anything else, Mike, with these guys?
No, because Jarvis Landry out with COVID, man.
Baker out with COVID, Case Keenum out with COVID.
Everybody's just hit with COVID.
And Joku Hooper out with COVID. So maybe dart throw on
it's Nick Chubb and D'Ernest Johnson for me.
Who's the tight end, Mike? Throw me his name.
Harrison Bryant.
Harrison Bryant, dart throw maybe.
God, I love Madden. It helps me remember all these random ass names.
No doubt. No, no. He was a touchdown catcher machine last year.
Yeah, how about the call on Austin Hooper last week?
It was good, no doubt. Yeah.
Thank God. Baltimore. I liked him too. That's why, I mean, man, we should have talked about it a little bit, but do you like Mercedes Lewis as a deep, deep tight end against the Ravens this week?
Jimmy Graham or Mercedes Lewis? Because I got to make that call in a league.
Mercedes Lewis all day. Yeah. Baltimore is terrible against tight ends. I can see Mercedes Lewis having a good game.
Sure. Okay.
If Austin Hooper can do it.
Your next Monday game at their regular scheduled time, Vikings at the Bears. Kirk Cousins on primetime, LaPlante. It's a really good matchup. Are we buying him this week?
I am. I mean, we talked about him only throwing, five touchdowns this year? He's been – this is a career year for him, I think, at least efficiency-wise. Maybe not touchdown-wise. He's got 27.
27 touchdowns, 5 picks.
Exactly. This is – by far one of his best years when it comes to efficiency. I like him against the Bears, man. The Bears have been rough.
Their defense stinks now, Mike. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say it. They stink.
They're rough, man. And I like Jalen Johnson, but man, did he get – he got made looking like a little boy against the
Bears. Yeah, he probably didn't like that.
And I heard that he was the one calling out for the matchup too beforehand.
Yeah, he likes to draw a little bit.
But I think I like Kirk Cousins as a streamer. Now it is primetime, so that does scare me a little bit. But
I love Dalvin Cook. Bears run defense isn't the same. Justin Jefferson is just an absolute monster.
You can't stop him, man. He's
putting his name out there as maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, and I'm going to say that. And might be a little spicy, Mike, but he might be.
Man, that draft class that he came out of, there were so many good wide receivers. Why couldn't the Packers have traded up and got one?
Hey, shout out to AJ Applegarth as well with the Eagles drafted Jalen Rager.
Over
Justin Jefferson, man.
At least it wasn't that bad for us.
That's a tough pill.
We only trade up for, you know, quarterbacks that aren't going to ever play.
And Mike, I also love Osborne this week because the Bears are brutal against slot receivers. Their slot corner is Artie Burns now, and he's not a slot corner by trade. Marquise Christian got hurt last week, but he's not good either. They're awful against the slot. They're awful against receivers. I like Osborne this week.
The one thing that I like Kirk this week, like I said, but the one thing that kind of scares me is the Bears offense. I mean, they had a good offensive week last week against the Packers first half. That second half was atrocious. If they can't keep up with the Vikings offense, because the Vikings offense is going to score. That's what it comes down to. And I don't know if the Bears can keep up. And that's what scares me with KJ Osborne, because last week when the Vikings were battling, you know, that shootout against Pittsburgh, we seen Osborne be involved. If it's not that, he's not involved.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this game's going to be close because that's what the Vikings do. The Bears are bad, the Vikings are always
– the Vikings love to make it close. Metals.
Yeah, man. They're
the cardiac kids this year.
No doubt. No doubt.
But, yeah, you're starting Cook. You're starting Jefferson. The one guy I want to get your thoughts on just real quick, Conklin.
He's in that – pack of streamers, Mike. That's where I have him at. I mean, obviously, Thielen's still out with that high ankle sprain, so a little bit of targets are free, and that's why I like Osborne so much. But I'm not huge on Conklin. Get throw some names at me. Let's hear them.
I was just gonna say, how about the other tight end in this game, Conklin or Kmet?
I'm gonna go Kmet. I like
Conklin on that one.
Okay, I like Kmet this week with Allen Robinson being out. I know he was a bum, but yeah, I like Kmet.
All right, this one I know the answer: Tyler Conklin or Evan Engram.
Yeah, you do, Tyler Conklin.
All right, well, that's enough of the bargain bin tight ends. We can move on. I wanted to see how bad Evan Engram was.
Sure.
So we can move on to our Tuesday night. I mean, did we brush over the Bears at all?
We did not, but the only thing we really need to talk about is I think Komet's a tight end streamer and Justin Fields is a quarterback streamer in this matchup because Minnesota's defense is not good, Mike.
Yep, the only ones we can actually start confidently is Montgomery.
Montgomery too, yep.
I don't know about Mooney after the week he had last week.
He's not someone you can trust week in and week out. He's not. Let's spend 20 seconds on this. The Bears are dog shit. Khalil Herbert, we saw what he did with Montgomery being out. And then last week we see Damian Williams hop him on the depth chart. And they're 4-9. I hate him, Mike. Let's move on.
Now you know my pain of trading up for Jordan Love.
How annoying is that?
All right, so we'll move on here to our Tuesday night game then, because you know you're not starting Allen Robinson ever. And
these games are so tough to talk about too because of all the COVID that's happened. That's why it's got pushed back.
The hard thing about these, and I know I brushed on it a little bit, is the players, you know, Cup. Bob Dole brought up a great question with Cup and Stafford, because these games are on Tuesday. We don't really have any backups for these guys. Like, I'm pretty sure if I read it correctly, both these games start at 6 o'clock, which is weird. They didn't stagger them at all.
Yep. No, they're both at 6 o'clock and it says it's both on Fox. So really weird.
And they didn't stagger them at all, which means it's not like, you know, if Cooper Kupp didn't play, you could go maybe snag a wide receiver, you know,
DeAndre Carter off of Washington.
Yeah. So this is sort of Samuel.
I agree.
I think you have to go with you have to play your stars, the guys that got you there. And I know it hurt a lot of people last week with Tyler Higbee getting COVID at the last minute, but this is where it comes down to. You got to have that a little bit of depth. If you're in the playoffs, if you do not build, you know, get a little bit of depth, get, you know, a second defense, have, you know, a fourth, fifth wide receiver on that, maybe, you know, a couple extra RBs if you need it. If you did not prepare for that, man, you're going to suffer tremendously with one of these, you know, guys getting ruled out with COVID.
Yep, I couldn't agree more, man. But let's try and decipher the stuff here. Seahawks at Rams.
Yep, Alex Collins out with COVID. Tyler Lockett out with COVID. DK Metcalf was questionable with his knee. He is expected to play, though.
You're firing DK up, man, with Lockett being out.
Rashard Penny, the big story here, man. Great, great game last week. He's got a tough matchup against the Rams this week, though. Are we starting him with that same hopeful this week?
No, Mike, I don't love it. I don't love it just because of the matchup. I don't feel the game script's going to be in their favor either, but I do like him moving forward. They get the Bears, Lions, and Cardinals to finish up the season, so I do like his schedule moving forward, just not this week.
Yep, not a great matchup this week, even though he is looking pretty phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're starting DK if he plays.
You are. You're starting him.
If he doesn't play, man, oof. Are we firing up Freddie Swain?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. So we could probably move on to the Los Angeles Rams then. Don't, like I said, play your stars. Play Cooper Kupp. I almost said Robert Woods. Play Odell Beckham. He tested negative.
Yeah, hopefully he gets another one so he could play. You're starting Stafford.
Yep, you're starting Stafford. The one person I really haven't gotten much info on is Daryl Henderson.
He's still on the COVID reserve list last I saw, so you're firing up Sonny Michel as well.
Yep.
He's an RB2 moving forward as long as Daryl Henderson isn't there.
Yes, sir. Now, the thing that worries me, though, is Sonny Michel, for some reason, does not get involved in the passing game. Which is odd because in a Sean McVay's offense, the running back always gets involved in the passing game, going back to Todd Gurley.
Dude, yeah, you're hoping a touchdown counters that, and he has a good chance of scoring a touchdown because the offense is so good.
And the Seahawks defense is bad.
Exactly, exactly. I think we jump to the next, our final game.
It's been a long one. So let's wrap this one up real quick with the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles. Like I stated earlier, McKissick has a chance to play. I'd be starting somebody else if you have him on your roster. But that does give hope to Antonio Gibson, you know, hopeful that this game script is more in his favor because he is starting to turn out to be the Josh Jacobs of the Washington football team.
Yep.
But, man, the one person I kind of want to talk about, we're starting him, obviously, but I want your thoughts on McLaurin a little bit, struggling. Is it the injury, you think, or is it the offense?
No, it's the offense. I mean, last week he went down with the concussion, hit his head pretty hard, but he, like you said, he didn't do anything before that. So, yeah, we're a little worried about him. He's just been so inconsistent all year, and his thing last year, Bob Lung's consistency guy that was awesome that he writes every year, McLaurin was talked about real highly in there, and he's just not as consistent as he was last year, which is weird because we talked about this in the offseason. The quarterback play was going to be better.
Yeah, but if there's one thing I know about fantasy football, consistency is not consistent.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not. I mean, the most consistent player we have seen in fantasy football, I think, has been Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And Davante Adams, yes. But even Travis Kelce this year, he was surpassed by Mark Andrews a little bit, but now he's back up in that. So consistency is the hardest thing.
Yeah,
the consistency is the hardest thing in fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm definitely totally worried about Terry. But I'm still firing him up. I have him in our home league and a couple other leagues, so I'm rolling him out there as long as he's healthy.
Yeah, I think the only – I mean, you can maybe make an argument for Ricky Seals-Jones in the tight end position with how bad it is. Logan Thomas going out. But it's a tough one. Ricky Seals-Jones or Hunter Henry?
Hunter Henry. We should also mention that Taylor Heineke's banged up because Dallas beat him up pretty good last week. Kyle Allen had to come in, but Kyle Allen's on the COVID list, so.
Yep, Taylor Heineke was also listed with an illness as well.
Oh, boy. I'm pretty sure the other quarterback on the roster is Kyle Shermer. Pat Shermer's good.
Is it really?
Yeah, I want to say it is. So that would be interesting to see him in a game finally.
I was going to say, I haven't even seen him on Madden.
Really? Now I got to look at their roster. Go ahead, Mike. Keep going.
I was just going to say, let's jump over to the Philadelphia Eagles side of things. I mean, obviously, you're starting Jalen Hurts if he's playing. I think we have to start Miles Sanders with this running back landscape and the COVID injuries. As long as we have confirmation he's going to play. But if he's out, I mean, who's the guy you want? Kenny Gainwell or Boston Scott? Because it doesn't look like Jordan Howard's trending to play.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one, Mike, but I think I'd lean Boston Scott. More touchdown upside.
And if Jordan Howard is active, we only want Miles Sanders.
Yep, agreed.
All right, you can start Devontae Smith against this defense. It should be another breakout game for him, hopefully. Man.
I'm worried about Jalen Hurts a little bit, Mike. Aren't you?
I'm not really because they get.
But what if he's still battling that ankle injury?
And Minshew's going to come in.
I know. But if Hurts, if he's hampered by that ankle injury, but they're still trotting him out there, his fantasy production, I feel like, could take a tumble a little bit.
Yeah, he's not that great of a passer.
No, he's not.
He kind of looks like Taysom Hill as a passer.
I know we say start your studs because and Hurts has got you there.
But what did we talk about earlier with Ike? He's the king of garbage time. We don't think this is going to be a garbage time game.
Agreed. Yeah, I definitely don't love it, guys. Don't love it.
So I think that you're hearing it first here, endorsement. Sit Jalen Hurts this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, other than Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, I don't know if we can trust any other pass catcher in this offense.
Agreed. And you got to temper expectations with Hurts in for Goddard because – he's better when Minshew's there. They showed it.
Yep.
But
yep. Yeah, I do like Devontae Smith's upside a little bit with Minshew, though.
Yeah.
If he does play.
I do too. I do too. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up. Good show, Mike.
I know it's a little bit longer for just us two, but you know what? I had a hell of a lot of time, a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. Please give us a follow wherever you listen to and subscribe to podcasts. Please subscribe to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. Really, we really appreciate that. And then if you could give me a follow on Twitter at dclemens2222.
All right. I will not be begging for follows like Dylan, but I will be asking. But I will be asking if you guys could really subscribe to YouTube. I mean, if you guys enjoy the show as much as we do, enjoy, you know, having it for you, subscribe to YouTube and click that little bell up in top, and you'll get notifications every time we start up.
Yep, sounds good.
But that pretty much wraps it up, Dylan.
All right. Well, we'll be back next Friday with week 16. Hopefully everyone's watching and everyone's still alive in the fantasy playoffs.
Yep. I will not be. So good luck in your matchup this week.
Thank you, sir.